Jeff, it is good to see you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
I'm glad we have a smile on our face. Have a lot of kids here. It's a family service. Thank you for packing in. And I just want this to kind of be like it is at home, right? With everybody just kind of on top of each other. So we are there this morning. So I want to take just a few moments and just read the story of Luke. We'll have it at decent in order. It might not quite be what you just saw, but I want to invite the kids up. And if you have really little ones, you can come and sit with them. Ladies, little girls, if you have dresses, you can sit on some of the seats that are open around here. But I'm going to go ahead and invite the kids up. Let's just get into the book of Luke. He's like, oh, do I have to come? Come on, be a leader. Come on up. Yes, I know this is chaotic, but that's okay. Have a seat, buddy. Come on up here, Jesse. Okay, Caden, you can come up here, buddy. There you go. I love this. Awesome. Now we will have gifts at the end of the service. So get a head count, Amy. Oh, she's out in front. I'm just kidding, Bernie. We'll be fine. Kind of. All right. We got everybody in here. We can get in here close. All right. Well, I will be brief. But I want to read the book of Luke, chapter 2, the story of Christmas. How many have heard the story of Christmas this morning? Anybody heard it already? All right. Well, let's go. You did? Awesome. Way to go, Shelby. All right. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So taxes have been around a long time. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, there were accomplished that should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Just like that guy pointed, said, go to the inn. There's nowhere to go. Go to the stable. There's nowhere to go. And then in verse 8 it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Ooh, they were scared. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up and listening to the Christmas story. I appreciate you guys being here. Do you know Jesus loves the children? He does, doesn't he? Are you guys going to have a great Christmas? That's right. We have a great Christmas because Jesus was born and he came to die and give his life for us, and he's our gift of eternal life. I appreciate you all coming up here and listening to the story of Christmas from the Bible, from God's Word. He left this Bible for us so that we would have a record of his birthday. So every time you think about Jesus' birthday, you can remember it when you read the Bible. And so I just thank you guys for coming up here and taking some time. You've been very good, buddy. Give me five. You've all been very good. All right, I'm going to ask you, yes, everyone gets fives. All right, we're going down the line. I'm going to have you guys, you too. That's right, Gabriella. All right, now I'm going to ask us to get crazy once again and get up. If you guys can go ahead and get up and go back to your seats with mom and dad. I'm going to talk to your mom and dad for just a little bit, and then we're going to get into these gifts. We'll get into these gifts here in just a little bit. So be good for mom and dad. All right, I'm going to get up here where I can keep myself together. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here this morning, and I'm going to commence to just sharing a little bit more about that story. We've all heard the story. We've read the story. It's familiar to us, as it ought to be, and I just want to take a few minutes and rehearse some of the things that we all may know, but just to look at them fresh again, and then we're going to come together and celebrate a little bit more. At the end of the service, the kids will get some gifts, and we've also included the junior high and high school age in the gift as well. I'll give you some instructions as we get to the end. But while we are focused on Luke chapter 2, I'd like to just briefly have a word of prayer and ask God to teach us a few things this morning before we get into the passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to just sit with children. And we are in awe that you humbled yourself and became as a child. I pray, Holy Father, that you would just help us this morning to, as we think about Christmas and we look at it, and it's fun to hear those kids talk about it, and it's good to think about it in light of children, which we should do. But Heavenly Father, also, as we come to this moment, Lord, give us an adult version of this story. Help us to realize how it applies to our lives even today. Lord, I pray that you're glorified in all these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I just want to take some time and visit with you briefly about three aspects of this story that we just read in these 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. So if you do have a Bible, please be looking at the text. You may want to look down at some of the verses. First thing that I want to just point out here is in verse 8. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You know what's amazing about this story is that Jesus appears to these shepherds. And when the angel comes and announces the birth of Jesus, they fall down. They're scared. The Bible says that they were in much fear. When the angel came, they were greatly afraid, as we would be too in those circumstances. And this morning, I want to make sure as you hear this passage that you can hear without fear, because it's the natural man, right? That when we come before a holy God, we should be afraid because sin separates us. And that's what the story of Christmas is all about, how God spanned that chasm of separation and he brought light into the darkness. And so we find these shepherds gathered on a dark night. And you know, when you think about these shepherds, you might think about some weak little shepherd boys, and they may have been scrawny little guys, but they were far from weak. These shepherd boys, you know, they had lived in this same country, the text says. This is the same country in which David himself was a shepherd boy 1,000 years earlier. Another little guy was out there tending the sheep, and he was there in that same country, in the area of Bethlehem, Judah, their inheritance there in the tribe of Judah. And so it was occupied by the same patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were also shepherds and brought the promise through their seed of the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would one day come. And the Bible says they were abiding in the field. They were there abiding. You know what abiding means? It means that they were staying there, right? They did have the pop-up tent. So they probably didn't even have tents. They were just laying out in the field at night with the sheep. Now, before you think, oh, that's not too bad, we know from the story of David that while David, 1,000 years earlier, was in those fields, he ran into a lion, he ran into a bear. And so laying around at night in a field with sheep is not necessarily as easy as it may sound, especially when your job is to keep the sheep, because there were things there that would be very dangerous. And when you just turn out the lights, right, and get in the dark, we get scared anyway. So these were brave men. They would lay out there at night. They understood the goings-on at night. They were not scared by nature, and they were keeping their flocks. These men were no wimps. They could handle a lion and a bear, probably like David could. And so it's fitting because the angel would appear to them as the light of the world was to be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, that very night. And so the shepherds had this sudden fear. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, the text says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." It means they were very, very afraid. And how incredible it would have been for these men who understood the heavens, they understood the different things that were going on around them, the lights, the stars, the falling stars, the moon, all the things that would go on in a night sky. These men were very familiar with it. This wasn't just some random flash. This wasn't a comet burning through the sky. This was a unique supernatural moment when these men were confronted, were interacting with angelic hosts. And I don't believe it was like most of the pictures, even the one in my image up there, kind of is like a one-point light, like we're used to, a light with a power source. But in this case, as you look, the light was round about them. I think everything was just illuminated. I think probably, and I'm just guessing, but it's probably like Revelation chapter 21 and verse 11. If you look it up and you look at what it's like to be in heaven, the light is not just like some sort of a candle. It's not like some sort of spotlight. It's very vibrant. There's colors. It's moving. It's intense. And I think that's the kind of light that they were caught up into, a heavenly light. And I think everything was just lit up from darkness to light. Maybe this morning God's brought you here, and with all the trappings of Christmas and all the joy that we talk about and the peace on earth, you don't have it. And I know that's because you may not have stepped into the light. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came to this earth. Imagine this light not resonating from one source, but radiating in the brilliance all around them as they see the celestial kingdom with their own eyes. They are keenly aware that only the holy are to be in that place, and they find themselves very afraid. So the application isn't that it's just dark at night, but we live in a dark world, don't we? And we're somewhat like the shepherds. We kind of get used to the darkness. We live in it. We abide there. We do our business. We take care of our responsibilities. But as we're out in the field, suddenly this light comes to these shepherds. Because Jesus Christ is leaving the light of heaven. And he is the light. And he steps into a dark world. And he came to this world for a purpose, and that was to illuminate it. To let everyone understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the light of the world. So why are we so afraid? You know, when I was a little kid and I was scared of the dark, what did you always want? You wanted the light on. But isn't that weird how something happens when you get older and you get more accustomed to this world? When we go through life, all of a sudden there's a lot of things people like to do under the cover of darkness. And before you know it, darkness becomes the preferred place to be. But that's not what God wants. And it's interesting, you can get so acclimated to the dark that you don't want to be in the light. And it'll cause you to be in fear. Because you know a holy God is calling you into fellowship. And see, this angel shows up, and I believe it's Gabriel based on Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. And he makes this announcement. They're so afraid. And I think it's a picture for us. It's an image, because sinners in the presence of holiness, men accustomed to darkness, when placed in the light, they realize what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that the light has come into the world and that men love darkness rather than light. The Bible goes on to say, because their deeds were evil, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh into the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. There's something about God calling us into light. And when you look at the next verse, in verse 10, notice what the angel says. And the angel said unto them, first thing he tells them, fear not. There's no need to be afraid. Fear not. The angel came and he said, you don't have to fear. Who would have thought that that would happen? First of all, that the angel would come to them to make an announcement of the Lord's birth, the Most High. You would think that they would have came to the Sanhedrin, or perhaps they would have come to one of the kings or the high priest. But he comes to these shepherd boys, or these shepherd men that are gathered outside of Bethlehem. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is often the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in his pre-incarnate form. But here, I do believe it's one of the Lord's most anointed angels. One of his most, I shouldn't say anointed, but one of the more responsible angels, like Gabriel, Michael. You know, he has these angels and they are in rank. He sends a high-ranking official to say, hey, I'm making this announcement to these shepherd boys, these shepherd men. And Gabriel, or the angel, appeared unto Mary in Luke 1:19 and made this announcement to her. And she's been thinking about this whole time. And now it's finally come to pass. And she's brought forth the Christ, the child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these angels are these shepherds are learning of this. And the first words they hear from heaven are, fear not. And it's no surprise that sudden fear fell upon them. Fear not. Because God has business with them. You know, when God calls us to be used, sometimes it's scary. He calls us out and he says, fear not. Fear not. I'm going to give you an announcement. I want you to hear without fear. I want you to hear without fear. And this morning, if you've come in here and maybe you have some fear in your heart, maybe even just being in church makes you uncomfortable, you're not used to the language, you're not used to the culture, you're not used to all that stuff, I just want you to know, God wants you to fear not. He is holy and he is true, and maybe even you like to dwell in darkness, but he's calling you into light, and he's calling you into light for a reason, because he has some work for you to do. And there's no need to fear. The reason you don't need to fear is because Jesus is here. Jesus is our advocate. He's our propitiation. Those are big words in the Bible that say he is the one who has taken on all of that darkness and sin upon himself so that we could be made right with him. We could be reconciled to him. He came to die, but once he died, he lived because he overcame the grave, and he's alive right now. And because of Jesus, we can hear without fear. For behold, I bring good tidings and great joy that shall be to all people. This message came to these shepherd people that were the lowest of the low in the social strata of Israel. These guys were, man, they were not looked to as high-level people. And yet God says, these are the people I'm going to make my announcement to. Why would he do that? The ancient Egyptians said they were an abomination. These shepherds were an abomination. Even to this day, if you go around the world, and I know many of you have traveled the earth, and you see shepherds, to this day, shepherds are considered the lower end of the social strata. And yet that is what Jesus Christ, that's how he chooses to identify himself. Not only as the chief shepherd, but even as the lamb, which are not noted to be the smartest of all animals, right? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Some people say God's crazy. He is. He's crazy in love with humanity because he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we could be made righteous in him. So all the people of the world that he could have appeared to, he appears to these shepherds. And he says, I bring good tidings of great joy. And just like I'm coming to these shepherds, this goes to all people. The lowest of the low, the highest of the high, the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich. This isn't just for Judah. This isn't just for Benjamin. This isn't just for the 12 tribes of Israel. This isn't just for the Jews. This is for the Gentiles too. This is for all people. This is a message that all need to remember, all need to hear. And it reminds me of that shepherd herdsman Abel in the Old Testament. That shepherd that was just to have a lamb ready or an animal ready for the sacrifice, and his brother Cain says, no, that's not how we're going to do it. And he slew his brother in a field. I believe even upon Jesus' announcement, as the angel was announcing this, I believe that it was already God's plan. He already knew he was going to die in this dark field in which he came. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's right, Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born. But this is personal in Luke 2. He says, unto you. It's very personal. Yeah, the prophecy says unto us, but I'm telling you this morning, it's unto you. It's a personal invitation. It's a personal announcement. And all the clues are given. Because in this city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has been born. All clues are given today. Right on time, as Daniel prophesied, as the city that David was mentioned in Micah 5:2, it was prophesied. The Savior, by name, means Jesus. Jesus is Joshua. Joshua, the name is already there in throughout the Old Testament. Everything has been prophesied. Everything has been laid out. And all of this is for you. As Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This isn't just a child. This is the child. This is God in the flesh. And then he tells in verse 12 that there's a sign. "This shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." These men are Jews, and Jews require a sign. So they get a sign. This incredible Savior, this Lord of all, is found laying in a feeding trough. Go find him to confirm it. So what are we confirming? Hidden like a needle in the haystack of humanity, God brought forth the King in such an understated way that his humility is only matched by his glory. You can go into eternity, and as much as you can think about the awesomeness of God's glory, you turn that around and you can see he's every bit as humble as he is glorious. There's nobody that would prefer to be born in a stable. There's nobody that would prefer to place their baby in a manger. And yet God ordered it, and that's how it was done. Because his humility matches his glory. And today we still marvel. Every Christmas season, every time we think of this story, we think not just about the humility of his birth, but the humility in his death. Why is this? Because the fundamental problem with humanity and one third of the angels that fell is pride. It's pride. And so we see right off the bat with this gift that we receive that it came with great humility, though he is Lord of all. And that simple fact alone strikes us in our very heart. Jesus' humility points to his deity because he is the Son of God, whereas those who are the children of the devil in John 8 are beholden to Satan because he's the king of pride. Job 41:34 says, "Behold, all he beholdeth all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride." A sign is typically like a picture, right? It's not always. It doesn't have to be. It's usually some sort of image. Maybe it's words. Maybe it's a picture. The angel paints a picture in words that these humble shepherds will find your sign, your picture, the one that's going to redeem you. Everything that's been written of in the Old Testament that you've been looking at, that you've been waiting for, you'll find it over here in Bethlehem in a manger. The gift of eternal life is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, helpless at birth, led as a lamb to the slaughter at death, because he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And this was the sign that Jesus himself gave, not only to those that were listening, but to, I'm sure, Satan, who was also watching all that was transpiring in Bethlehem. And he's reminded of that prophecy so many, many years ago in Genesis 3:15, that "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And this day has arrived that one has been born. He didn't come in the clouds like Revelation 19, as he will, but he came as a baby. I mean, who in the world? God slaying the enemy with both arms tied behind his back as he laid helpless in a manger. And as all of this just crescendoed and it came to this place, this announcement just continued to build and build and build. Then all of a sudden we see in verse 13, "And suddenly there was this angel," or I'm sorry, "with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. Now suddenly, these shepherds see that no one else, in the scripture has ever seen recorded outside of those that are receiving visions. But literally, as they stand there, they see the heavenly host praising God as if they were already in heaven. They got a hold of something that very few will ever get to see. And this good news comes to all men. Goodwill to all men born to Adam's sinful race. And that's why 2 Peter 3:9 says, God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus, God gave his son, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves the world. And so we can hear without fear. I pray this morning you hear without fear, and then we can seek the Savior. In Luke 2, verses 15 and 16, the shepherds received the word personally. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste. Notice they moved quickly. First, they received the word personally. They didn't look around to see who else God was talking to. They didn't assume the announcement was going to another group of people. After the angels departed, they're like, hey, this message is for us. I better do something with it. I better go. We better go. Not only did they go as an individual, but as a unit. They had unity. They moved together. What a picture of how God designs his church. And he makes us disciples. And though we walk with him individually, he calls us to work together corporately to accomplish his mission. And the shepherds set aside the temporal quickly, don't they? They move with haste. And they go at the call of God. They didn't have time to put an advertisement in the paper and say, well, who's going to take care of my sheep? They just leave. They go. I don't know who they handed them off to. Maybe their disciples, their little under-shepherds. And then they took off. And they went and made haste to get to the manger. They came hastily because they didn't want to lose and waste an opportunity. They moved in haste. Like many a child who rose early this morning, man, to get to their gifts. Man, they couldn't wait. My daughter comes in, jumps on the bed, you know. It's like, yay, yeah. And they were ready to get there. You know why? They wanted to see the gift of eternal life. I'm not going to have a formal altar call this morning like I normally do, but this morning, if you need to have the gift of eternal life, if you need to hear without fear, if you need to be one who is assured of your salvation, man, move with haste. Because we've got the Bible. We can show you in the Bible how you can know that you can have eternal life. And you need to move like you're moving to the Christmas tree when you're 4 or 5 years old, when you're up and you can't wait to get to that gift. Those shepherds moved with haste. They didn't only seek the Savior, but they ended up sharing him. In verse 17 it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And then Mary kept all those things in her heart. They made known abroad. We're commanded to take the gospel, which by its very definition means good news, to the world. And we do that by making disciples, literally of all nations, literally of all people groups, all ethnicities. And so this Thursday, we're going to have a group of folks leaving for India to minister in Raigarh, Orissa, Mumbai, as well on the western side of the country. Two different, literally both sides of the country. It's going to be a great time. And like the shepherds, they've heard, they've faced the fear of holiness, and they've moved in faith. And so I want to encourage you this morning to pray for this team that's going, because just like God came to these shepherds and he sent them on a mission. And then those guys came, they saw what God had talked about, what God had spoken about, and they moved with faith to tell others. There's an entire group of people that are going out this coming week, and we need to be praying for them. And so I want to bring Steve Fleshman, if you could stand up, Steve. Steve's going to be leading the team to India. And Steve, if you could introduce the team and have them stand, the ones that are here. I want everyone to see them.